ॐ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविप्रम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणं मुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्तदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ज्ञानावस्थितगतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुराः शरणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। उद्धरेदात्मनात्मानम् आत्मानमवसादयेत् आत्मैव ह्यात्मनो बन्धुः आत्मैवरिपुरात्मनः कर्मण्येवाधिकारस्ते मा फलेषु कदाचन मा कर्मफलहेतुर्भूः मा ते सङ्गोस्त्वकर्मणि। We saw these two verses. Each one of them had four instructions in each. The first one is about how one should uplift one's mind from the usual tendencies of self-defeating negativities, regrets about the past, preoccupations with the past, disappointments, unpleasant experiences. And that is why it is said, Uddharet, lift yourself, Atmanam, mind, Atmana, the Buddhi, with the intellect. Buddhi is that, intellect is that which gathers information, analyzes analytically, concludes with rationality, and tries to adopt or practice. That's the nature of the intellect. When you send your children to school, your essential purpose is that the child becomes mature enough to make his or her own decisions. Meeting various vicissitudes of life, circumstances of life, one should not always look for some help outside. If one is asking for help when the child is only 4 or 5 years old, mommy, when it comes, you can understand the child is not mature enough. If it is 45 and does the same thing, then there is some problem there. Meaning that maturity, not only about understanding various subject matter, but also the ability to analyze independently and decide what is my course of life, how to go about. That ability comes, that is buddhi, intellect. Whereas the mind is emotional, always engaged in what is liked and disliked by it. That is the nature of the mind. And I like this, I don't like this, without any rationality. That's if you ask a small child, why do you like it? I don't know, I like it. You know, many of us, even when we are 70, 80, we'll say the same thing. But when it is come to our own personal growth and personal upliftment in spiritual life, then we should think, even if something which I apparently dislike, but if it is good for me, then one has to adapt to it. And those things which I like, but it's not good for me, one should be able to give up. That is the buddhi. So therefore, first thing he said was, uplift your mind with the help of the intellect. And that buddhi or the intellect can be developed only when it listens to the authoritative knowledge. Knowledge which is coming from the right pramana. In Sanskrit, we call it as pramana, from the right source. Do not go by anybody and everybody who writes many books. Nowadays, anybody can write any book online. Yeah? Then it is not who the C or that person who writes. That person has the right knowledge, qualification to say what he says. Should you follow that? In today's world, we see that ChatGPT, and then it says how to commit suicide also. So because it is said in ChatGPT, is it true? Then I go and jump. Then it's not right. There are such dangerous things are happening nowadays. You know, I'm depressed. What do I do? ChatGPT is go and jump. If you can't handle yourself, that is an authority or what? It may say, but that is not the right source of knowledge. So the correct source of knowledge one should seek. Pramana janita jnanam is called the correct knowledge. Now, second one he said was, Bhagavan Krishna said that never allow your mind to remain in the condition of depression. Na atmanam avasadayet. Do not allow it to remain in that indecisive, inconclusive, confused, deluded state. Fortunately, Arjuna had the presence of Krishna to ask him question. Had it not been Krishna there, what would be his decision at that point? I won't fight. And the whole thing, I mean, one may say, good that there would not have been any Mahabharata war. But then the unrighteous rule would have continued. So the right person was there at that time to advise him. So whenever our mind is indecisive, when we are not able to take decision based upon our own understanding, there are three sources you should approach. Number one is someone whom you respect, who is wise. Right? Number two is, actually number one is the right source of knowledge, scripture, shastra. Shastra eva pramanam. It is said, scriptures are the wisdom of the ancients who have written down. That is the first source. Second is wise people who are there in your community. Or the third one is people who are concerned about you, may not be wise, but they are really thinking about your welfare, you approach them. Fourth one is take a decision. Gurudev always said, never sit on a wall indecisively for too long. If your decision is right, you will enjoy the result. If your decision is wrong, learn from that. So four different things. First is the source is the shastra or the scriptures. The second one is the men of wisdom. Third one is those who really think what is beneficial to you. Fourth one is take decisions. Don't remain indecisive for too long. So that indecisiveness is the mind which is going to pull you down. That is the second statement. The third statement what he made was, your mind is your friend. If the mind can integrate with the buddhi, stay with the buddhi, stay with the intellect, and continuously take the correct guidance, such a mind will eventually reach Atman, the self in you, which is the source of all bliss, the God's presence in you. The lesser the mental agitation, greater will be your proximity to God, proximity to the Lord, who is residing in your own, which is also considered as the Atman, S capital. When your mind is remaining disintegrated away from the buddhi or the intellect, then that very mind will become a great enemy because it is fighting continuously against you. Why do we like to be in the state of sleep? Because at that condition, mind is not there. Isn't it? Never mind. So you at that point, why you are able to enjoy the sleep? Because there is no intruding mind continuously taking you away from yourself. That is not there. Therefore, at that state of sleep, we are with our own self only, but not knowing, in the darkness. Whereas when you wake up, if you are away from the self, then the agitation starts. So the means of meditation is basically reducing the agitations in the mind, the noise of the mind, and remain closer to your own self. Right? So therefore he says, your own mind, when not controlled, is your enemy. Your own mind, when it is properly tamed, is your friend. And in Kathopanishad, the example that is given is the chariot which is driven by unruly horses. One horse goes like this, another horse goes like this. Where do you go? You will be stuck. Whereas the horses are together, they are going in the same direction. You will move forward. Okay, this is the first verse. The second verse, yesterday we saw that when it comes to the world of action, human beings alone are capable of doing action, karma. So there, Bhagavan Krishna said, you have the right to duty alone, right to work alone. Meaning, karmani eva adhikarahate. You have the right to work. We saw that elaborately yesterday. Why we are not bhakti adhikari, jnana adhikari, dhyana adhikari? Kyun nahi? Because we are already in the field of karma, action. Now the karma, the word, can be divided into two parts. One is what you do now. Another is what you did in the past. Both have an effect in your personality. So what you do now is pretty much you can decide. Like many of you have come here, that is your decision. Hope nobody brought you here. You decided to come. That's karma you did. And the benefit of it you will receive. And when you listen carefully, and then you will get some knowledge. But why others who want to come could not come? That is also karma. Because the preoccupation something, suddenly when you were about to start coming, then there was a call and you had to attend, or some work that came up, or your car would not start. Those things are also there. That is also called karma. Meaning, things that you did in the past, in some way or the other, obstructing what you want to do right. Sometimes they are beneficial also. Sometimes they encourage or push you forward to the next level. That is also karma. In general, adrishtam, meaning unseen, which we have done in the past, we don't know, but it will have an effect today. So, the karma, when it is performed by you, understand there is an element of past coming in, which you call it as prarabdha. But you must account for it. Do not get frustrated by that. Because the result is decided by not only the action that you do now, it also decided by the action that you did in the past. Both of them have got an effect on this result. That's why it is said, Karturajnaya prapyade palam. Karturajnaya prapyade palam means not only your action by itself can produce some result, but there is an element of the past influencing that result as well. You must keep it in mind. Let me give you an example. Let us say that I had fought with somebody whom I have misunderstanding with, let us. So that person has a grudge on me, unhappy about it. Then he goes and tells another person about me. That guy, you know, most evil one in the world. Don't even talk to him. That person does not know me at all. Now, when I happen to meet him for the first time, what would be his reaction towards me? Though I have never met him, but he has heard about me. So even if I try to be friendly with him, he will not be coming forth. Why? Because of my past with somebody else who has nothing to do with this present relationship with this person. But then he had influenced it. So even if I go with a friendly attitude, I will not be welcomed by that. You understand how the past comes in. Simple example like this. So our past definitely rules the result, even if you do efficiently. That is the reason Bhagavan Krishna says, do not get dependent on the result. Ma phaleshu. Even if you do the best, the result need not be the best. Therefore, as I said yesterday, go for the lakshya. What is the ultimate goal you want to reach? And do not decide your path, success and failure by immediate results that come. One who is able to continuously focus on the final goal and despite the immediate failures, if he moves forward, such a person will ultimately win. Because the past karmas will exhaust at some point of time. But your action efficiently will continue. As Gurudev also, Swami Chinmayananda, when he started, how much of opposition he has got. But he said, no, one single individual. He said, no, I am going to go. Whoever it be, let the opposition be. I will not stop. That consistency of purpose made him what he was. Ultimately, after 40 years of work where he could create a renaissance, it's because of consistency of purpose and doing the efficient work all the time. So, ma phaleshu kadachana adhikarahate. There's no real right over the result of your action. And therefore, the third statement he made was, ma karma phalahe turpu. May you not be driven by your results. May you be driven by your lakshya. And we must have a clear understanding of what is the lakshya. What is that which we want to achieve? If that is unclear, vague, then we will do only whatever comes on the way. Right? As I said, if you're going to a shop and you want to buy something, if you have a list, then you will buy that. If you have no list, you will buy everything. Or buy nothing. Come back. Why? I don't think anything I have to buy. If you know what you are going to buy, you go there and finish that job first. And then do the rest of the thing. Many times we buy everything else except what the wife wants. Did you buy that? Oh, that I forgot. Why did you go there? In the same way, Lord also, when you go back, he will ask, did you finish your work? No. Then go back. That's the punarjanma. Go back. You are lakshya is moksha or liberation. Other than that, you did everything else. So what's the point in coming back to me? Go back. Punarabhijananam punarabhimaranam punarabhijanani jatare shayanam iha samsare bahudustare kripayapare pahi murare. Again birth, again death. When does it end? Until you clearly see the purpose. So, ma karma phala hetarbhu, may you not be driven by the immediate results of your action, for they are ashashvatam. They are so temporary. And gati nirodhakam will pull you down from your gati or moksha gati towards your liberation. If I am worried about what others think and about me, and then I will never be able to move forward. Because I go by the opinions of others, then what will be my situation? So, ma karma phala hedarbuhu. At the same time, since I am not interested in result, therefore I won't do anything. That is wrong. Mate Sangaha Astu Akarmani. May you not remain actionless. Because action alone produces some change. Any change that you see in this world has happened because somebody did something. Huh? Now everybody's status quo, then nothing would have happened. So somebody is doing something, and therefore there is change that you see in this world. So these are the 8 pointers so far we have seen. Now comes the next verse. First one was about how to uplift oneself by oneself. Second one is how to work in the field of action. Now comes the next stage of our maturity, how to give up. I mean, I don't want to give up. Unless you give up, you will not grow up. Please understand, giving up is for growing up. Giving up is not out of frustration, out of unhappiness, out of unpleasantness. Happy, you should give up. Not only what you don't like. You know, I often give this example. So, whenever I take people to Kashi, I tell them, Kashi is Banaras. All of you should give up something you like. What you like, you give up. So one person said, oh, but my wife. Did you not hear? What you like? Oh, yes. So why this giving up is important? Any growth happens only when you do not get attached to what is no more useful to you. Again, don't come to wife and all this. That's not the point here. Giving up is for growing up. When I was given the sannyasa, Brahmacharya Diksha by Gurudev in 93, so he said, I'll give only one message. Why are you wearing this color cloth? You know that? So we just looked at him blankly. I don't know. A small plant, a small sapling, when it is put on the ground, when you plant it on the ground, it needs protection. Because any animal will come and eat away. So you put a protection. Right? How long the protection is necessary until it grows up? When it becomes a big plant or a tree, it doesn't need the protection. In fact, it doesn't, it grows beyond that plant protection. Correct? In the same way, when you are wearing the ochre robe or the cloth of a monk, it is not for you alone. It is for others also to know they cannot talk nonsense to you. About worldly things, I mean, you can talk to anybody. But when it comes to a monk, you don't ask about those questions. You ask about more of spiritual questions. At the same time, you also don't talk nonsense to others. Meaning it protects you from others and also it reminds you what you are supposed to be. It is like a person wearing a white coat. Right? Obviously, if nowadays they don't want to wear a white coat. But white coat means what? Doctor, medical practitioner. So then you can ask what question you will ask to him. My neighbor is troubling me. How to sue him? What law? Don't ask him about that question. Obviously, he doesn't have that knowledge. With a stomachache, and you go. But whereas if a person is wearing a black coat with a white shirt inside, which means he's a lawyer. White shirt means he knows what is true. Black means he won't tell. That is. So to that lawyer, what do you say? What do you ask? About stomachache? You will say, sue the stomach, he'll say. You don't ask that question to him. So you ask anything related to law, legal system. Similarly, to a sadhu, what should you ask? One boy came to me and asked, Swamiji, yes, what was your name when you were normal? Child can ask that question. If the adult asks that question, then there is a problem. Ask spiritual questions. Ask questions that about God and related to philosophy. So he said, this is a representing a different kind of a person to whom people don't talk nonsense. And also you, reminding you that you also have to talk sense, not unnecessary openly. Talk, open your mouth for unnecessary topics. And always he said, always remember, your growth is not decided by this. You grow beyond this. Right? So that means this is a symbol of giving up. Sacrifice. That's why it's a fire, color of fire. Fire is that when you put anything, it burns. It doesn't retain anything and you cannot take anything from it. Meaning, if you give me anything, you will not get it back. You will get, it will get burnt. Never it will give back to you. So it's like a fire when you give, it doesn't give you anything. In fact, it's a connection between you and God. That is called Agni. Agni means what? Agre Nayati. It is taking what you offer to God. Vahati idi vahni, that which carries. So the fire is that, a symbol in Hinduism, is that which represents the God's presence to whom you give out of love, out of feeling of gratitude. That is the topic here in the verse number 3. We'll see that here. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi. Yajuhoshi dadasi yat. Yat tapasyasi kaunteya. Tat kurushva madarpanam. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi. Yajuhoshi dadasi yat. Yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushvam adarpanam. Arpanam kuru, offer to me. Now, until this point or these first two verses, he never talked about himself. About God, there is no mention there. In this verse only, he says, to me. Here, to me does not mean Son of Vasudeva, Krishna as an individual. He represents the mighty Supreme Lord who happened to be as taken the form of human only to advise the humanity through being Krishna there. So Krishna, Bhagavan, Swayam, the Lord himself, but he took that form only to, for a limited period of time, to advise the right way for the humanity. So therefore here, the literal meaning is what? Sarvam Krishna Arpanam Astu. Everything we offer to the Lord. So in this context, what he says, Yat Karoshi, whatever you do. Yat Ashnasi, whatever you eat. Yat Karoshi, Yat Ashnasi. Yat Juhoshi, whatever you offer in the form of ritual. Dadasi, whatever you give. Yet tapasyasi, whatever austerities you undertake, all of them do it for me. Surrender to me. Right? Now, the point which we started with is, giving up is to grow up. Giving up should not be out of, as I said, frustration, unhappiness, hatred, or momentarily you don't like it. Some people give up only to take it up later. I give up. I gave up smoking for a year. And then what? Next year you start again. That means you really did not give up. One lady was traveling with me. Kashi. This also again and again I point out. So I said, everybody, you have to give up something. She said, Swamiji, I'm going to give up tea. I like tea, but I give up. Very good. So we do certain mantras and do the dipping into the Ganges, and then say, I'm giving up this for life. She said, yes, Swami, for life I'm giving up the drinking tea. All right. Next morning, when we were getting ready, I saw her drinking tea. I said, shame on you. You just know. Yesterday evening, you said you will stop drinking tea. Yeah, evening tea. Now you understand how hard it is to do that. When you are giving up, you understand you are not going to take it back. That means what? It is no more relevant to me in my life. And that requires clear thinking and maturity. Not regretting afterwards. I gave up. No, I'm regretting why I gave up. Then there is a problem. One person was there. He was so frustrated with his family, wife and children. So he decided to go to Himalayas. He went to Himalayas. So he went to a solitude, and it was a small cave. He thought that I will stay there and then do my tapas. So he had only one extra cloth he was carrying with him. He went there, a small cave, sat there. And every once in a day, he will go to the nearest village, ask for some food, and come back, eat, and happy. And he will continue to meditate. He was trying to meditate. He thought about his family and this and no, I gave up on all of them. No more. What happened next day when he went to the river, took bath and came back and washed his earlier cloth, put down the other cloth and put it for drying outside. So another set of clothes. It so happened that some rats came there and ate away his clothes completely. He could not wear at all. So he had only one set of clothes that he was wearing. So he said, what to do now? So he was looking for what else, what do I wear? I don't feel like wearing the old clothes. So he was walking by and then he found a small ashram, monastery was there. He went there and sadhu was sitting, a lot of students were there. He also sat. So this sadhu looked at him and said, you're a stranger. You're new to this place? Yes. Okay, where are you from? You know, he said this and I'm living in this. Okay. And by the way, yeah, do you have another set of clothes? What's the problem? No, I brought that, but the rat ate away. Oh, you have a rat. That place has got a lot of problem with the rat. I think you should have a cat. You know, when the cat is there, the rat won't come, you see. Yeah. Only thing is you have to put some milk for it every day. So when you're going for asking for food, you also say, for me, food, for the rat, for the cat, milk. But the milk that he would get is very limited. So he was no doubt feeding the cat every day, but the cat was very unhappy. It went away one day. Again, next to 3 to 4 days back, later, he get the new clothes also eaten away by the rat. He came back to the same sadhu again. Yes, no, now what's the problem? Same thing, rat problem is still there. What happened to your cat? It ran away. Why? I gave milk, but that was not sufficient. So then he said, I have an extra cow. I give a one cat and one cow also. Make sure that you milk that cow and give the milk to that. So then you have permanent supply of milk. All right. He got the cow as well as the rat to his place. Now, the cow has to be taken for grace all the time. You know, otherwise, where the milk will come from? So he was going with the cow, going to the grace, etc., and then milk it and give it to the cat. He falls frustrated because this is going too much. And in a small place, though, the cow was also there. Cat was also there. And it was putting all the cow dungs. So smelly. And he cannot keep it outside also. Somebody will take it away. He went to that sadhu again. Well, what is the problem now? You got the cow, you got the cat. You got the milk, what's the problem? Like, cow is there, cat, I'm happy that it gives milk, and the cat is also happy. Rat problem solved. Milk problem solved. The cow problem started. Why? Because it puts a dung, and then all the mosquitoes, this and that. And so I have to take it for, and wash it every day, wash their cow. Then the sadhu said, there is in the village one young girl is there. She wants to say do seva. So will you take her? Yes. One 9 months later, they had children. Now tell me, yet one more family started. Now, did he really give up? What did he give up? He thought he will give. He gave up his family, etc., for the sake of meditation, etc. But he really didn't give up. His mind is not ready. He's still bothered by mundane things. So our giving up should be born out of maturity that I do not need anymore. Then it is right. Then you don't regret. You don't go back to it again. So this important point, that is why Krishna said, Sannyasastu Mahabhago Dukkhamaptam Ayogadaya. If you take up the path of renunciation without proper preparation in your mind, you will be suffering. And you cannot tell anybody also. So, how to prepare yourself for this? How to prepare your mind for the ability to give up unwanted things? Therefore, here he says, whatever you do, do it for God. Yet karoshi tad madarpanam kuru. Whatever you do, do it as an offering to God. Meaning, I'm not doing it for myself, and I'm doing it for Him, the Lord. And it is the responsibility of the Lord to make sure that you come out of He will give that maturity to you in such a way that after some time, you will not need to do that. What happens to most people is that they are parents, no doubt. After then, the children are, in the school, and after that, they graduate and then go. Still, the attachment continues. They really don't give up. Okay, I have created these children, and then they have been mature enough. They'll let them do their life. No. Hover around all the time. Did you eat? When you are hungry, you should eat. That boy says, oh, I never knew that. And while driving, look at the road. Ah, I never thought that. I thought I will read a book and read. And what is that possible also? Once you have given that maturity to the child, just let them. You can't. They're so attached. And therefore, not only we become parents, become grandparents also. Again and again, the same thing never come out of it. That's why in our tradition it's given after you see the face of your grandchild out, you are no more a parent. You are a parent. No more parent, you're only a parent. They will take care of you. Their children, they will take care. You don't bother about it. You proceed on to your goal of life, proceed on. But we don't do it. Hard to give up. Not only that, many of our habits also we are not able to give up. When do we stop this? So only when you do as an offering to the Lord and detach yourself, not mine anymore, it is His, then alone one will really grow up. Yet karoshi. And whatever you eat also, Bhagavan Krishna says in chapter 15 that the one who is digesting from your stomach is also me. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashrita ప్రాణ అపాన సమాయుక్త పచామ్యన్నం చతుర్విధం. ఐ ఆమ్ ద వన్ హూ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ ది అగ్ని, ద ఫైర్ ఇన్ యువర్ బాడీ, ఇన్ ద స్టొమక్, వేర్ ఐ డైజెస్ట్ ద ఫుడ్. సో వెన్ యు ఆర్ ఈటింగ్, వాట్ యు షుడ్ బి డూయింగ్? బ్రహ్మార్పణం బ్రహ్మహవి, దట్స్ వాట్ వి చాంట్, దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్. యద్ అశ్నాసి తద్ మదర్పణం. And it is logical also. Why? Because when you eat, and when you eat lunch or dinner or whatever, are you digesting it? Are you? Can you claim that you are digesting it? It's happening. There is no strike. It is continuously from the day you are born till today. Only you have to ask gastroenterologists what happens. So they will tell you that it is going on without any trouble until you really destroyed with, you know, not keeping it up. That is continuously going on. Only when it is not, then you go to somebody, what is not happening. So given that Lord is there to take care of that aspect of your life also. So, yet dada, yet juho, yet ashnasi, whatever you eat, understand, even the digestion that is taking place, that is by the Lord who is sitting there in me. And therefore, to Him I offer. Yet karoshi, yet ashnasi. Now, in the 18th chapter, Bhagavan Krishna says, three things you should not stop doing. Yajna, Danam, tapaha. Exactly that is what is pointed out here. Yajna means giving things to the fire as a gratitude to God. See, we take it for granted, rain and the sunshine, the water, the air, everything, the earth, the fertility of the earth, everything is given to us. Nobody created it. Nobody can create, you know, claim to have created the fertility of the earth, or the sunshine, or the water, or the rains, or the everything is there already. So whose grace is this? Because of whom everything is happening? What you take it for granted is work. We must acknowledge that. We must be grateful to that. So when you are offering whatever you can in the name of the Lord, as you are going to do, you know, on Saturday, Ahuti, when you are offering into the fire, to, you know, chanting Hanuman Chalisa, etc. What you are doing to that Lord is protecting, who is a representative of the divine servant. I am offering to that fire in gratitude, in with the thanks. That is actually true thanksgiving. True thanksgiving is that, giving it to the Lord. So when you are offering, yet juhoshi, juhoshi means whatever you offer into the fire, do for me. So, in that offering of the fire, as I told you, it is not going to come back to you. It is offered and gone for good. Right? So, in the offering into the fire, it is a sacrifice. Sacrifice means what? You give up your ownership. If I am giving you a gift, after that, I have no ownership on that product or object that I give it. Next day, I cannot ask, what did you do with that? So then if you are intelligent, you will say, that means you didn't give up. Why are you asking that question? Your possession or attachment with that object should have been gone at the moment you give it. So, ejjuhoshi, whatever you offer into the fire, tat madarpanam, give it to me. Right? Next one is, dadasi, meaning whatever you give as charity, danam. Again, danam or helping somebody with either money or any other help that you do for the fellow citizens of the world. The first one is to God. What you are offering is in the fire is you are sacrificing your attitude of possessiveness to God. I am giving it to you as a gratitude. The second one is, what you do as an offering or help to other fellow beings in this world, a danam, that also you should do as though you are giving it to me. Do not have the arrogance saying that I am giving, you are taking. No. He gave and he had given opportunity to share with you. That's why in Upanishad it is said, Shraddhaya Deyam. With Shraddha you give, with faith you give. Ashraddhaya Adeyam. If you don't have faith, don't give. With the person whom you are giving, you must have the faith and trust that this will be useful to that person. I'm giving it to him with that faith. I'm giving to him thinking that it is a Lord who is receiving from me. Shriyadeyam, Kriyadeyam, Kriyadeyam, Sambhidadeyam. With the awareness you give, with the love you give, with the understand, with joyful you give. Don't give, I have to give. This Chinmaya mission already is always asking for money. As though I am going to put it in my bank account or anybody else here. It is going to a right cause, whether it is here or anywhere else. It is going to a place where it is needed. So with that faith, with the joy, with the trust, with the joy, with that feeling of gratitude, you offer your help or to any help or charity or help to other beings. Again, here also the attitude of sacrifice. Giving up only to grow up. You no more feel that it is, you have the privilege, you have the great, you know, arrogance, sir, I am giving. Don't do that. You know, when you are giving up, nobody should even know that. It's not like that nowadays. When you're giving up, making sure the photographer is, that you forget about who is receiving. Or in some of the temples in India, they put the name. You know, the tube light will be there and tube light will fill of name only. Donated by so-and-so in the memory of so-and-so on the day. Light won't be there also. Light won't come because you have written everything over that. Is that call it as charity then? It is said that what you give in the right hand, the left hand should not know. That is a true charity. So, dadasiyate, whatever you are giving, danam, yagyo danam, then tapaha, yat tapasyasi. Tapas is, well, first one is giving to gods, second one is giving to fellow beings, third one is giving up your imperfections and negativities into yourself. Meaning taking the vow of change. A tapas is basically where I am no more slave to my senses. I am no more slave to my mind. I am no more slave to my habits. That is tapas. Tapas is not sitting on, growing a long beard. That is not, that is how it is portrayed. But tapas is really tapati iti tapas, that which burns you. Burns means what? It burns all your bad, negative thoughts and habits. So you are offering your, you know, there's a four chapter, it's an elaborate, you know, discussion on what is tapas. Vak tapas is there. The 17th chapter talks about vak tapas, manat tapas, and kaya tapas. What is to be done? Anutvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chayate. Swadhyaya abhyasanam chayva vangmayam tapo uchyate. Manaprasada somyatvam. All these things are given as tapas. What does it mean? To improve oneself from one's own impurities and negativities and mental agitations, where you say, I am no more going to get into the old habits of sensuousness, indulgence, etc. So that tapas, there also the attitude of sacrifice. One is for the God, another is for the fellow beings, the third one is for yourself. So Bhagavan says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you do to help, whatever you offer to gods, whatever you do to help others, whatever you do to improve your own purity of mind, all do it as an offering to me. So in our Hindu tradition, there is the altar of God kept in every house, reminding us he is the actual owner of the house. We are all tenants. in his presence. Not that you are having a chota or small god, that you also stay here, okay? Giving you some place for you. He is the actual owner. I am staying in his house. Is it not the entire earth is a large place? We are where we are tenants only. Who's a tenant? Who's there for a short period of time and leave away? That's what we are. These trees and plants and mountains and rivers and other, they actually are the owners of this place. We are only short period of time. We are here. Whatever best we can do without destroying anything, there do and go. Otherwise, on the other hand, what we do, we arrogate ourselves and destroy all other around us. Oh, human mind has become so arrogant. See, you may interesting, I mean, one interesting point you will understand. If you go into any, you know, countryside, and if you find a path going somewhere that is human created, animals walk, making no way any path. You've seen that? So many animals go, but they don't create a path. When humans start walking, they create a path. Because of the heat of the body, nothing grows. Whereas animals also go move around there, but they won't create any pathways. Not that human going and say making a pathway, but merely walking daily, that they create the pathway. Means what? We create a greater impact in this world than all other living beings. Creating chaos. So we must understand we are living in the abode of God and He's permitting us to be here. So that gratefulness, gratitude, thankfulness should be always there. So Bhagavad says everything that you do, everything that you eat, everything you offer into the fire, everything you give it as donation or charity, everything that you do for your own austerity, do it for me. So that is the third verse. So this way, these verses, once you understand and adopt it in your life, as I said in the first day, memorize these verses and pass on this knowledge to people. Because when you say, I am following this religion, what does it mean? You know, what is the practice of religion means? Today also I was talking about that. What is practice of religion? Not just going to a temple and shaving the head and then eating prasad and coming home. That is not religion. Religion really means change. Intrinsically, there should be a change in you. And if that doesn't happen, being religious has no meaning. It is like going to a basketball game, watching it, but you don't become a basketball player. You just entertain yourself and come back, paying money. Whereas religion is that which is going to fundamentally change your way of thinking and doing and living. If that doesn't do that, then such a religion is a waste. There's no meaning in just saying that I'm religious when there is no change really happening. Right? So these verses are so powerful. And of course, as I said, 700 verses, all of them are so powerful. We have just chosen few of them to discuss. If you open the Gita, any verse you take, it is so much depth into that. And see, I have taught entire Gita at least 9 to 10 times so far. All the 700 verses. Every time I do it, it's totally different. It is because it opens up new ways of thinking. And it makes you more and more dwell on that and creates a clarity. That's why Mahatma Gandhi said that whenever I am in trouble, I just open the Gita and there is an answer. I see it. Oh, hey, I didn't see before. Because he was able to recognize the teaching right away, practical to him. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Kashchit Dukha Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Sri Gurubhyo Namah. हरि ओम।